This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the pinging and ponging voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are we?
We're not too bad, mate. We're not too bad. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Feeling very good after my little competition that I got involved in the other day.
So you are quite a competitive character. You've just told me what you did. I was quite surprised because I didn't know that you played this game, but you have, yeah, you've entered a tournament and succeeded. You've won.
I did. I played ping pong for the first time in, I don't know how long. We used to play a lot at football. I think most football clubs have got a ping pong table in the, normally in the canteen. We certainly did from memory at Blackburn, definitely at Watford, Brentford, and you'd get the lads playing, and lads get really, really good at ping pong. Because of course, if you're playing every single day, very good game, obviously good for reactions, little bit of movement. And some of the games we used to watch were really good. Anyway, I haven't played for about maybe 15 years, and there was a little competition going on. I thought, do you know what? I do like to compete from time to time. So I've entered this competition, and Matt, I must tell you, it brought back a lot of emotions, a lot of emotions. It was the first game, 10-8 down. It was up to 11 each game, and then you kind of went through. So there was, I think, four rounds. So it was like a couple of rounds, and it was a semi-final, final. But round one, 10-8 down in the first game. And honestly, I've never taken something so seriously in my life, like the pressure of knowing like one mistake and you're done. Oh, and I managed to come through, won that 12-10. I'm not going to bore you with every single game, but it got to the final, and the final was against a guy who had won the previous six in a row. He was like the big champ. He was the guy to beat, much better than me, but I managed to find a way to win 11-9 in the final game.
So you were playing to 11, not to 21?
It was just to 11, because there was obviously quite a few people there, so rather than being sitting around waiting, and the whole thing only took about half an hour all in, which was perfect for me. I didn't want to be sat there for hours. That was ideal. And the best news is that I won a hat.
Oh, no, really? But mate, surely you want to show off your new hair. A hat is the worst thing you could have.
This is true. This is true, actually. It wasn't ideal. I haven't worn the hat yet. And to be honest, people that kind of know my history, the last thing I need is a hat. I've got plenty of them at home. But still, it was nice. It feels, that hat feels different to a lot of the hats that I've currently got in stock.
Are we just, are we going to keep calling it ping pong, or are we actually going to call it table tennis?
I mean, table tennis to me, if you want to call it ping pong, is that the American phrase? I don't know.
Well, mate, you're the one who's been calling it ping pong. I think there is, actually. Isn't there like a separate sport called ping pong?
Is that right?
I'm sure Matchroom hold a tournament that is not table tennis, but ping pong or something, which plays under slightly different rules. I could be completely wrong with that.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure I was playing table tennis.
Yeah.
Do you know what the worst thing is? And this just made me feel really old, is I woke up the next day and felt stiff. I think those those little movements, reaching for the ball, there was one in particular where I've stretched to kind of flick it over the net, and yeah, did feel a little sensation in my not so good bicep. But yeah, no, it was definitely an enjoyable evening, I must say that.
Can we bring that back to goalkeeping?
Well, of course. I mean, table tennis is all about reaction, speed of feet, concentration, those pressure moments, you know, knowing that one mistake and that could be it. That's where I think we bring it back to football, bring it back to goalkeeping.
Excellent. Well, we weren't here last week, were we? And I was quite keen to produce a podcast this week, Richard. And I haven't told you this, but there is a reason why I was disappointed we didn't record last week and was very keen, as I said, to record this week.
Oh, go on. Enlighten me.
So today, Richard, this particular podcast recording is, drumroll please, our 200th Between the Sticks episode.
Wow. I mean, who would have thought when we did that first one that 200, we would still be here and have the same number of listeners as number one?
It's incredible. All that analysis, mate, all those goalkeeping saves, moments that you have analysed, 200 episodes down.
There you go. There you go. Do we need to say thank you to anyone? Is this kind of one of those moments where you give a speech?
Well, I think it's nice to say thank you to the listeners for sticking with us. And of course, thank you to you for providing all of that analysis. It's been very good, very enlightening.
I would say thank you to you for what you do with Clean Sheet Club, but I probably wouldn't mean it.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Starting in the Premier League, as we did all the way back in episode one, Sheffield United 1, Burnley 4, and Arrow Murich. So keeping his place, despite recent mishaps, I guess you could say very close actually to producing another with a misplaced pass out from the back in the second half of this one. However, key saves made in the first half from Ollie McBurnie and Ben Brereton-Diaz, and an excellent stop in the second half from James McAtee.
Yeah, some top saves here. Do you know what? I love the one in the top corner. And actually, funnily enough, I did forward this clip on to a couple of people who I was having a recent conversation about top hand saves with, and when to go top hand, when to go with your hand that is closest to the ball at that time. And this is a great example where there are goalkeepers that might go top hand here, but I think the fact that he didn't was the reason he made the save. That quick step, got his right hand up so quickly. Brilliant, brilliant save. This is going right in the top corner. Whereas I do wonder, if you go top hand, having to get the left hand over to try and make that save, I think this particular save has to be the, for want of a better expression, the bottom hand, effectively, the closest hand. And I thought this was an excellent save. What is interesting is it does seem, and I do wonder if this is because he hasn't played as many games this season, where there is a moment every game. And obviously the two previous games, he certainly didn't get away with it. This one, he did. And it was actually an excellent save thereafter, down to his near post. That wasn't an easy save at all. But as you say, a poor pass out. And I do just wonder whether with more games, those start to disappear. I know it wasn't necessarily the case last season in the Championship, very consistent on the whole, but certainly at the moment there does seem to be a moment a game. But I think with this particular performance, again, the amount that he is getting work, the amount of saves that he's made, a couple of great ones in the first half as well, I guess the law of averages, you are going to have more moments than maybe some of the goalkeepers at the top end.
Just a quick word too, if you can, on Ivo Gerbic and the first two goals scored by Burnley, Jakob Brun-Larsen and Lorenz Asignon.
Yeah, well, I think the deflection in particular I felt for him, because of all places it could go, it's a real squirmy one into that near side. But of course, the moment it takes that deflection, your weight is on your left-hand side. It's then the speed at which you can get back to your right and try and get fingertips to it. And I think it's one of these that, is it savable? Possibly. Again, you know, maybe a different type of goalkeeper, someone who's that little bit more mobile, a little bit more explosive, might be able to shift weight and get back to their right-hand side. But certainly, you know, there's no error here. This isn't one where there has to be an expectation to save it, because it is a tough one. Like I say, the moment it takes deflection, you're going the wrong way. It's the speed at which you can change direction and get back down to your right. It's a very, very difficult ball to get to. And then in regards to the second, again, tricky because it's come through one of his player's legs, and you can sense that he's just moving to his right-hand side as it struck. And this, I know we spoke about it in a recent podcast, where as a goalkeeper, you're always trying to assess a situation. I don't like the word guessing, but there is obviously an element of trying to read it, which essentially can be guessing. You can see that he started to move to his right-hand side, and it is an unusual finish because it's more of a toe poke that's gone back to his left. He's obviously then at that point, because all of his weight is on his right-hand side, he can only go with his foot, can't get enough of a foot on it, and it ends up in the roof of the net. Of course, had he stayed neutral in this moment, he would have been able to get to his left that bit easier. I'm sure he would have made the save. But it's that real tricky one again. Like, as goalkeepers, you are always looking to read what might happen. I guess, according to the textbook, this is one where you would be in a neutral position. If you are, then you can move quickly to your left and make the save. So I do think he'll be a little bit frustrated with it. But at the same time, I can fully understand why he's moving to his right. Because if you were to freeze frame just before it struck, the likelihood is that it was going to go there. But I know there'll be a lot of goalkeeping fanatics out there saying that you just can't guess in these situations.
Over to Goodison Park, Everton 2, Nottingham Forest 0. And Jordan Pickford is, he's a madman, isn't he? He is a madman.
Do you know what? I love this. And at the same time, I was smiling to myself because it's an unbelievable save. You know, he's got himself across the goal so quickly, made himself big, hit him. He's strong enough when it hits him to keep the ball out. They've managed to scramble it clear. It's the fact the ball's still in play, though. The ball's still in play. Could be whipped in. And it's not like it's a quick fist pump. He literally turns to the crowd and he is celebrating for a good few seconds while the ball is still in play. You know, and in that moment, you're sort of thinking, I'm sure there must have been a fan or two screaming, like, get back in your goal. You know, the ball could be whipped in any second. But he really wanted to enjoy that moment, which he did. And there was a couple of moments thereafter where he gets it. He loves that one as well, where he holds the ball, drops to his knees, a little smile, a few little gestures. And again, this is Jordan Pickford. We've said it over and over, where I think every goalkeeper has got their optimum performance state, and every goalkeeper is different. For some, that's super relaxed. For some, that's a bit more tense. For some, it is the Jordan Pickford style of play, where you really embrace the moment, and actually that enjoyment of being there, the connection with the crowd, crowd. Aaron Ramsdale's got it to an extent as well. Certainly we saw that last season with Arsenal. And this does bring out the best, certainly in Jordan Pickford.
Certainly entertaining, isn't it? Just wrapping up the rest of the Premier League, David Raya on the half-hour mark from Joao Gomez in Arsenal's 2-0 win, over Wolves. It was goalless at the time, so that was a big save. Thomas Kaminski, we'll mention him again because five conceded, but again producing some, I'm going to say, world-class saves in this one. First from Keen Lewis Potter, that was a header at 0-0, and later from Christopher Ayer, that was at 4-0 when the game was pretty much done. And sadly, it's one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper keeper.
So this will be one of quite a few, actually, in this week's podcast. Dean Henderson receiving a pass back from Tyreek Mitchell and letting it not slip under his foot, actually kind of slip over his foot.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, it's funny. We seem to talk about similar things over certain periods of time. And it does feel at the moment that we're seeing a lot of these. And I do wonder why. You know, I know we're going to talk about one of the championships shortly. I know there was a Murić one last week that slipped under his foot. And again, there's similarities here. Now, like what I would say, it's not an easy ball to deal with. It's not a great pass back. It's obviously coming, you know, from a bit of height. But at the same time, yeah, it's a bad error. It's one of these classic ones. Happens anywhere else on the pitch. And of course, it's irrelevant. But the moment it happens for a goalkeeper. And it must be so frustrating for him in that they were so comfortable at the time in the game. You know, it's one of them that he gets control of the ball, clears it. They win the game 5-1 or whatever it might be at that point. And no doubt it goes down as a solid performance, etc., etc. But yeah, nothing worse. I say nothing worse. I mean, it'll be quickly forgotten given that they did win so comfortably. But nothing worse from a goalkeeper when you're walking off and one of the last contributions in the game is something like that. And you can see straight away just how frustrated he was. And it is just one of them. You know, we can sit here and analyse it. Should he have done this? Should he have done that? You know, ultimately, he controls that ball 100 times and 99.9 times he does it absolutely fine. It was just one of those moments.
Let's discuss the FA Cup semi-final. Coventry 3, Manchester United 3. United winning on penalties. What a bonkers game this was at Wembley Stadium. We'll focus on a couple of saves that were made in normal time first. So two saves that each respective goalkeeper apparently would have been expected to make. That was Lee Dixon who made that comment. I actually disagree with him because the Brad Collins save from Marcus Rashford was excellent and the Andre Onana save from Victor Torp was equally as excellent. The pace on those strikes to react in the way that both goalkeepers did, I thought was first class.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Matthew, and not agree with our friend, Mr. Dixon. The Brad Collins save in particular, as you say, is phenomenal. This goes back to what we said at the start of the podcast. Again, this is one that I think is a top-hand save, and I think because it is a slightly different trajectory, whipping in, it's going under the crossbar, and so the speed at which he got to his left and got fingertips, I think this is a world-class save. So to say this is a save you'd expect to make, again, it just makes goalkeeping incredibly difficult because there's going to be very few saves that you ever make that are going to be considered good saves. Thought it was a fantastic save. And similarly with Onana, as you say, mainly for the power. You know, Onana, you watch him before, he's got a really strong set position and he does that quite a lot where he, you know, he's very explosive. So this wasn't necessarily a save that was a long way away from him. But as you say, the pace on the ball, it's actually, and I will, you know, I like to relate to maybe a save or two that I made back in the day that I can, I guess, relate to the situation. I always remember making a save on a penalty from Johnny Jackson and he's absolutely thundered it down the middle. I've decided to stay still, but even that where it's gone straight in my face, it's not easy to get your hands from where they are to your face, you know, in 12 yards as an example. Like, I remember that I only just got the hands to it to keep it out. And so I could see similarities in this in that, yeah, he might be 20, 22 yards out, but he has struck this so hard. So to actually react in the way that he did, he has got that, going back to the explosivity that he's got, that he'll make the save. And it can look quite extravagant at times. But again, I don't mind that because I think the fact is that he is essentially like a coil, you know, and he then when he goes. So whether it's near him or whether it's a few yards to the side of him, he is going to explode in that moment, which he did. And as you say, it's a big save, big parry into a good area. Yeah, I thought it was a top save.
So when he goes, he goes. When he doesn't go, however, he definitely doesn't go. Now, I'd like to get your thoughts on this because the second Coventry goal scored by Callum O'Hare, aside from it being a spawny goal of the week contender, could Onana have made more of an attempt here? This obviously took a wild deflection, but just from watching it, it felt like he was rooted to the spot for quite a long time as that ball was in the air.
Yeah, I would have loved to see him go for it because I think he makes the initial step and you do think, oh, can you get one more step in and just fully go? You know, if you can, then might you get there? Maybe not, because look, the trajectory on the ball, once it's taken the deflection, you know, again, certainly no one's going to ever blame him for this, because it then loops in under the crossbar. I guess the fact that it's not right under the crossbar, you know, it's one that obviously does drop, probably middle of the goal at that point. I'd have loved to have seen him go for it, but at the same time, you know, I know what it's like when it takes a deflection like that. Your initial thought is you've already done a certain movement to go for the initial ball. You're not necessarily going to predict the deflection to go in the way that it does.
Mm. Okay, interesting. And for penalties, we saw Bradley Collins saying something to Bruno. I don't know whether you could make that out. Could you make that out to Bruno Fernandes?
I couldn't. He was shouting quite a lot.
He certainly was. And two yellows for Onana. So a yellow received in the penalty shootout, which is extraordinary, isn't it? Because I can't recall ever seeing anything like this before, prior to the midweek example involving Emi Martinez in Aston Villa's win over Lille. Now, there was confusion reigning at that point because we all thought that he was going to be red carded, but apparently yellow cards aren't carried over into the shootout. Did you know this rule? Because I had absolutely no idea, and now all of a sudden we've seen it twice in the space of a few days.
Yeah, I feel like I did, and I can't remember why, but it is a bit strange. I will give you that. It is a bit strange. I mean, it would have been fascinating had he got a second yellow in the penalty shootout and got sent off. I'm assuming then you can't bring on a sub at that point, so you'd have to put an outfield player in goal. Is that what happens? But do you know what?
That's correct, yeah. If you get sent off in a shootout, then yeah, you can't bring anyone on.
Wow, yeah. But do you know what? I do feel like I'd heard about this rule somewhere, that it kind of, it's almost like a blank slate in the penalty shootout for whatever reason. And essentially, I guess he's just maximised the opportunity.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where Ethan Horvath faced 21 shots as Cardiff hosted Southampton. In what should have been 3 points for the Saints turned out to be zero, as Horvath, the hero, kept their one goal lead to just that. Seven saves in total, pick of the bunch probably from Adam Armstrong's diving header in the second half as the Bluebirds smashed and grabbed. And speaking of smashing, Swansea Sojourn in West Yorkshire was simply sensational. Just when you thought it might be a good day for Lee Nichols in the Huddersfield goal after saving well from Jay Fulton in the first half, four goals in 20 second half minutes put the Terriers to the sword and severely dented survival hopes. At the other end, Carl Rushworth capped off three successive shutouts with a rocket of a ball for Josh Tymon. He collected and set up the second. Angus Gunn all but ensured a playoff place for Norwich by denying Bristol City's Scott Twine. The Canaries holding out against the Robins thanks to an excellent double stop of sorts from their number one. And that draw could have paved the way for Hull to still be in the mix had it not been for an up for it Dan Backman. Ozan Tufan's penalty saved, Fabio Carvalho's free kick kept out, and Jacob Greaves, given no chance, went through on goal. It's one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
Freddie Woodman letting in Chris Willock's cross slip for Lyndon Dykes to score the only goal of the game as QPR bagged three valuable points against Preston. I said it was one of these. It's not. It's two. Ainsley Pears receiving a horror of a back pass to see Sheffield Wednesday continue their bid to beat the drop at Blackburn.
Yes, indeed, Matthew. Should we start with the not so good and then we can progress to the good? But yeah, a couple of tough moments. Certainly, Freddie Woodman, I think we've all had a couple of these where the ball's whipped in the way that it was. You go to hold it. And again, if you're a centre, 2 centimetres off, then that horrible one when it just squirms through your fingertips and you can see the look on his face. The moment it does, you're just praying there's no one behind you. And of course, there's someone just to tap it into the empty net. And I think with the Ainsley Pears one, again, it just feels like we're getting a succession of these at the moment. They seem to happen so rarely, but then when something does happen, suddenly it happens several times. And very, very similar ball pass back to him. There's not a noticeable bobble. You know, sometimes you can see something noticeable and it kind of makes that bit more sense. I think it is just one of them where it's a tough situation anyway. I do wonder why, and I get that, a lot of teams now want to play this way, back to the goalkeeper, good touch, play out. But I was always so nervous when balls were played back to me and I'm in my 6-yard box and it's going towards goal and you've got strikers closing you down. You've got so many different things in your mind, and I don't want to make excuses for him, but it is a difficult position to receive a ball. And I think most goalkeepers will agree with me on that, but it couldn't have been any worse in that it's then kind of bobbled over his foot. And he, even then, he still probably has the opportunity to claw it out and just decides to kind of go with his foot, hits his knee. Yeah, just a horrible, horrible sequence of events. So hopefully he bounces back from that one very quickly. But then in terms of the good, I thought, yeah, Dan Batman, some big, big saves, and to save the penalty as well. I think the free kick, very good save. I think it's a good example of when it is your side holding firm. Went with his top hand. It was going in the top corner, so it's still a top save. And I think this is one of those where had he have guessed and gone behind the wall, he wouldn't have made this save. But I thought that was very good. A couple of other saves you mentioned, and then to top it off with a penalty save. Top performance from him.
Into League One, where Dan Grimshaw is making a habit of a certain type of save at Bloomfield Road. So similar stops against Cambridge and Fleetwood were seen once more as Sam Cosgrove's header and Fabio Jallo's follow-up were patted away by Blackpool's stopper. A 3-2 win over Barnsley takes those two final playoff spots to the final day. And the same applies for that coveted second automatic promotion spot. Nathan Baxter with a vital save low to his right from Port Vale's Thomas Sang means it's all still to play for Bolton, Derby and potentially Peterborough. There was to be no singing, however, for the Valiants, who drop back into the bottom tier. Speaking of Derby, Joe Wildsmith with good reactions and a strong hand to prevent Macaulay Bond opening the scoring for Cambridge in what proved to be a 1-0 defeat for the home side. Very quick mention here too for Will Mannion. He's been really good, in very good form of late despite those recent results. A dead rubber between Cambridge and Exeter provided some fine goalkeeping from Viljami Sinisalo. Good hands to gather a header from John Guthrie and a keep it out at all cost passage of play with both Kieran Bowie and Lewis Apparaes somehow denied by the flying Finn. And Sam Tickle, MOM again for Wigan as they became just the third team to beat Portsmouth at Fratton Park this term. Two double saves in the second half with Joe Rafferty ruining his rebounds being repelled after strikes from Sean Raggett and Marlon Pack. Jamie Howell's header also palmed away in injury time.
Yeah, I think we'll start with Sam Tickle. I think we've spoke about him a lot, haven't we, on the pod over the season. And I think I've said this before, but I have all the Google alerts for all the goalkeepers. So it's always quite, I'm always curious to see what ratings they get in the paper. And honestly, the amount of 9 out of 10s that Sam Tickle has got this season, and once again, fully deserved. There was a save in particular down to his left-hand side. Full stretch. Not only that, the awareness to be able to parry it into such a good area. I thought he was excellent again, and certainly put a little bit of a dent in the party atmosphere down at Pompey, which must have felt nice for him. And a couple of other top performances, as you mentioned. Sinisalo in particular, I thought he was really brave on the one that's kind of in front of him, makes the point blank save, but then actually to dive forwards and to get something on it to get it out of danger. You know, this is one of them moments where maybe some goalkeepers might step forward and try and produce a block, but I think this is one of those perfect examples where you could get injured, and there's a lot of goalkeepers that will get injured in this situation doing this, but it is the most effective way to try and keep the ball out of the net. When you can see it and you can dive head first and get fingers to it, get hands to it, put your body on the line to make the save. I love seeing that in a goalkeeper, certainly from a mentality point of view more than anything, you know, to have the bravery to do that. I thought that was an excellent save. And also Dan Grimshaw, top save. As you say, very similar to one that we saw recently, full stretch to his left. And then again, getting up quickly to get to his near post to make the second save as well. Top save.
And finally, in League Two, Luke Ashby-Hammond named in the EFL's Team of the Week for his display in Notts County's narrow win over Colchester. Nearly caught out by Ellis Iandalo's long ranger early on, but recovered well to touch it onto the bar. Can we have the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please? You'll like this one, Richard. Jackson Smith with an arrowed pass for Mo Farle to put Walsall's 2 up at home to Bradford. A playoff place now in severe jeopardy, however, as the Bantams battled back to win 3-2, thanks largely to Sam Walker thwarting Tom Knowles in injury time. Hasn't played too much football in the past 6 years since leaving Colchester, Walker, so certainly worth a shout for the part he's played in replacing Harry Lewis at Valley Parade. And a couple of other signings from this season to doff caps to, I think. So Steve Arnold, 8 saves for Sutton at home to Crawley. Great reactions in particular from Danilo Orsi's close-range effort. They drew and are all but down, but 3 defeats in 12 since taking the gloves from Dean Boutsanis is certainly not to be scoffed at. And neither are the 6 wins managed by now relegated Forest Green Rovers following the loan signing of Vicente Reyes. It had been 4 all season prior to his arrival from Norwich. Bit of a keeper caper in conceding the opener against Morecambe, but showed good character for a young lad to bounce back and make a big save from Gwion Edwards in the second half. Rovers ending their season's travels with a 2-1 win.
Yeah, I think a big well done to Reyes, as you mentioned. Tough situation to go into. I mean, it's crazy to me, looking from our perspective, to see that Forest Green are going down, you know, knowing obviously the amount that they've spent, you know, had one of the biggest budgets in the league, just hasn't worked out for them, obviously more so in terms of outfield. But I think bringing Reyes in, he has been a Reyes of light. What do you reckon, Matt? We'll take that. No, look, really, I think he's very much, from a personal point of view and from Norwich's point of view as well, like, to go in there and do what he's done. I think it'll be very exciting for him come the summer as to what options may come up in terms of a loan higher up. I think he's done himself a world of good. And also to mention Steve Arnold, to say it's a nice story given, and again, quite an inspirational one in terms of goalkeepers that find their way. And I know he's had one or two injury bits and pieces, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on that, but for him to step in this season the way that he has, I know Dean Buzanis was doing a good job before, despite Sutton's league position, but he stepped in. I think he's been excellent. You know, some of the games that he's played, he's given them a fighting chance. Obviously not quite enough in the end, but I think from a personal point of view, for him to step in and do what he's done requires a big well done. Clean Sheet Club. Right, Matthew, we are nearly there. It's time for this. Starting the Premier League, David Raya, so close yet so far from a siren. Jordan Pickford, six-goal sandwich. Into the Championship, Carl Rushworth, hat-trick. Victor Johansson, off stalemates. John Ruddy, back-to-back since back in August. Dan Iverson, gording it up. Mateus Arkic, 1-0 to the Millwall. Dan Backman, goalless, 3 from 4. Ryan Alsop took his time, took his chances. Asmir Begovic pleads to scratch. In League One, Nathan Baxter, unbeaten return. Jed Steer, Ing Wheel. Joe Wildsmith, 7-10. Jay Lynch, fleeting success. And in League Two, Arthur Okonkwo, League Two's number one. Jake Eastwood, cleans when he wins. Alex Cairns, long awaited. Luke Rashby Hammond, League Two's number one, Mark Two.
Very good, Richard. Very good. You did say there nearly at the end, and indeed we are just one game apiece in League Two and League One, give or take a couple of games in hand. But yes, just one more weekend of match days there. Would you like to hear the table?
I would love to hear the table.
So we have Alex Palmer with 17 in 44. He has two games to play, of course, because he is a Championship goalkeeper with West Brom. And then we have three on 18. Ian Melier in 41, Dan Grimshaw in 44, and Will Norris, the leader for so long, in 45. Now, Will Norris can no longer win it outright. He can only draw if Joe Wildsmith and Lucas Jensen fail to get another clean sheet. Wildsmith has 19 in 39. Jensen has 19 in 44. The big player in all of this, of course, is Melier. Leeds play tonight at Middlesbrough, and then he has two further games after that. So, Ian Melier is the only man who can win this outright if he eclipses both Wildsmith and Jensen.
Wow. I mean, if he wasn't nervous enough about the game, knowing that he could walk away with a clean sheet medal, I mean, must be a tough time for him today, but also exciting. Very, very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Shouldn't have got sent off, should he? I know we spoke about it last time. If he'd not been sent off, he might be clear here. And also a mention for Wildsmith, 19 in 39. He obviously had that period earlier on in the season where Josh Vickers came in. Had he not come in Vickers, Wildsmith would probably be clear too.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, forget about that, of course. But yeah, I mean, 1 in 2... clean sheets, you know, you talk about it often, 1 in 3 normally for a goalkeeper. If you're keeping 1 in 3, you kind of expect to be solid in the playoffs, as long as the outfield lads do their job. 1 in 2 is near enough guaranteed promotion, but as you say, that very much will go to the final day.
It will indeed. And just to finish, Richard, teams of the season were announced, as we alluded to in Clean Sheet Club there. In the Championship, Mads Hermansson was the goalkeeper named. In League One, it was Will Norris, and in League Two, Arthur Okonkwo. Do you concur?
Do you know what? I know how these are voted for. First and foremost, big well done to the three. They've all had excellent seasons. I don't deny that at all. However, there is something very much in common with all of them, which they're at teams at the top of the table. And again, just knowing how these are sorted and how these are voted for, this is a form that goes to all the players in every club, and you have to then name your goalkeeper and your outfield players, and then you submit it. Now, you can imagine that a lot of the outfield lads at other clubs, they won't really know who's done very well in a season. You know, had they come to us and we'd have had our vote, then of course there would have been a little bit more data and a bit more information that we could have given in order to vote for who was best in each league. Whereas I do feel, and I've been there myself, where I see the other lads, they'll just look around, who was a goalkeeper? Oh, who's winning the league? Who's letting the least? All right, I'll put his name. So I don't think it's particularly accurate in that sense, but at the same time, I want to make a point that, of course, all three of them, the fact that it's been such a successful season for all three of them, you know, certainly wouldn't begrudge them the title that they've been given. But at the same time, I do question the voting process.
The Goalkeepers Union Podcast Goalkeeping Awards. End of season Goalkeeping Awards. There you go. You heard it here first. Let's not put the pressure on ourselves for next season. There you go. That's what we should do. Have goalkeeping awards as voted for by goalkeepers and goalkeeper coaches.
Yeah, well, we could put it out to the Twitter sphere, couldn't we? Especially our loyal listeners. You know, if they were all to vote, then that would be a very, very accurate vote. I mean, okay, granted, we might get like less than 10 votes in total, but those votes would all be with a lot of education, I'm sure.
Quite a few thousand followers across social platforms, Richard. It could take a while to top those up. So let's not, you know, let's perhaps not go down that route.
Fair enough. You're a busy man as it is.
And finally, there was an FA Cup semi-final. There was also a Scottish Cup semi-final, which we have to reference, because your old pal Joe Hart stepped up to take the winning penalty and just slightly skewed it, hit the post, but did make up for it by making the winning save, of course.
He did, yes. And that was a nice moment. It kind of feels, obviously, with Joe Hart, everyone knows that he's obviously calling it a day at the end of the season. So it's you kind of hope from his point of view he can finish on a real high, which I'm sure he will. And moments like this, it would have been nice to see him slot away the penalty. But the fact he was then able to step up, make the save, still be the hero, yeah, delighted for him. And it was a good save as well, you know, down to his left-hand side. Didn't massively celebrate, which was interesting. You know, he seems very, very calm these days. But yeah, it would have been nice had he whipped that one into the top corner to then be able to actually run away and do a proper celebration.
I think he didn't celebrate because of the penalty, right? Because he did. Interesting technique. I think he went to lash it and place it and just kind of fell over the ball a little bit, really.
Yeah, just pulled it. I mean, again, if this hits the post and goes in, we're saying about, you know, how it was such a great penalty, unsavable. Yeah, just miscued it ever so slightly.
Okay, Richard, that is us. There's plenty going on, so I'll let you get back to work, but we will be back online next week, potentially in person, right?
Exciting. Yes, I think all being well, we'll be able to do a podcast in person. First time in a while.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union Podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Wait.